You look forward to that moment all week long. You throw on your favorite Dolphins jersey, pack the coolers into the car, load up the kids, and hit the road. No matter how many times you do it, when you drive up to Sun Life Stadium, you get that feeling of excitement like it was your first Dolphins game. Between tailgating, spending time with family and friends, and seeing the game live, Miami Dolphins football is creating moments every game day. Get your tickets today at Dolphins.com. Be the home field advantage.
This is the Wall Street Business Network.
South Florida's only business radio station, 880 AM, The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back with Victoria Labom. She is a speaking guru. She's going to help us understand how to communicate with each other at speeches, at events, at presentations, how we're going to rock the room. Victoria, welcome back. Thank you so much for holding on the line.
Oh, it was great. I enjoyed listening to the other events.
Oh, yeah. He was awesome. Now, listen, before we go any further, I know that one of the things that is a core belief for you is that business and art aren't separate. They're together. And beyond what we've learned here during the last couple of weeks at Art Basel, it gets even more involved when people are making a presentation. Help me understand that value.
Absolutely. Well, we looked at it a little bit in the first part of our interview together, where you want to create an experience for your audience as opposed to just delivering information. And there's a wonderful quote I love from Bob Dylan, who said, "The purpose of art is to stop time." And I think if you create a great presentation, it's like a piece of art. It stops time. People are not checking their BlackBerries or their smartphones or their iPads, like you said. They're present and they're transported.
You know,
so what you're trying to do is create this experience that takes people out of the craziness of their lives.
Now, one of the people, the person that got me in touch with you is Bruce Turkel. Bruce was having an emergency at one of his clients' office. I know Bruce is now with us. Bruce, can you hear me? Are you on?
I can. Emergency solved. Thank you. I appreciate your help.
Don't worry about it. I got to go one-on-one with Victoria, which was my whole thing anyway. I was just doing this as a doff of the hat for you anyway.
She's the greatest. You don't need me if you got her.
Yeah, listen, I know that. But I wanted to kind of draw you in because we were kind of getting to where I wanted to go with Victoria. And that's part of the reason that people take on these speeches and stuff like that is to build their brands. And so how can somebody use their professional presentation skills to build their brand? And, you know, I'd like Victoria to kind of talk about that a little. And then, Bruce, you're the branding dude, so you're going to take it where she leaves off.
You got it.
All right.
All right. So I'm up first.
You're up first. Swing away.
All right. Good. I got it. So you never have the same opportunity again when you give a presentation. You really only have that one because you cannot take it back. You might be able to give a second presentation, but people will say, oh, he sucked. He was terrible. So you really cannot afford to blow it. It's like they say about an impression. You cannot make it again. So that opportunity is not to be underestimated. And when you're giving one-to-many presentation, meaning it's not a conversation, you can control the message. So you have an incredible benefit. And you want to craft that message to really fall in line with your vision. So I'll let Bruce take it from there, and I'll add more as needed.
Oh, yeah. Rock on, Bruce.
Here's the great thing. When you're giving a presentation, you're doing it for, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour. So first of all, I heard Victoria say about stopping time. You get the opportunity to do that, but better yet, you get the opportunity to present a hyper-realized version of yourself. Because let's face it, after 45 minutes, I don't know about you, but I'll say something stupid or I'll do something stupid. But for about 45 minutes or an hour, I can be very charming, and you really have the opportunity to offer the essence of who you are and what you do. Number two, you have something that speakers talk about that I don't think people outside the industry know about, called the power of the platform. When you are up there, you're in front of everybody, you're raised up a little bit, you're under the lights, you have sound, you have everything done right, you achieve a higher level of consciousness in their minds because everything is special. So you not only get this opportunity to present, and as Victoria said, hopefully you've prepared enough that you're doing an awesome job, but all of the surroundings make what you're doing better. Think about it this way. Your husband or wife doesn't listen to you. Your kids don't listen to you. My dog doesn't even listen to me. But when you get up on stage, 100, 300, 1,000 people listen. And if you do what we've talked about, Jim, so many times on your show, you make your talk all about them, meaning you're saying things that resonate with them that they care about. When you get done, people are just knocked out, and you have established an indelible brand mark in their brain and, more importantly, in their hearts.
Awesome, and I have the excellent next question to ask. So I know, Victoria, that you say it's important to know your audience prior to a presentation and meeting. How do you do that, since Bruce teed you right up?
Right. Well, you can look at it in three categories. Number one is a reporter. Number two is a researcher. And number three, in terms of the reception. So the reporter is, think of the five W's, the who, what, where, when, why. So who is this audience? What are they there for? Where is this event? Literally, the venue, the location, the room, what's the setup? When is it? And that means what time of day, what has happened recently, when are you in the lineup? Are you 7 to 8 speakers? And then why are people there? So you want to really start to look at all those elements of logistics. You can also do what I call the PPQ. Bruce is familiar with this, the pre-program questionnaire. So you want to send a series of questions to your host. Who's in the audience? How many? What is demographic? What age is? What are their issues? Who are their competitors? So you really start to understand. So that's the reporter. The second part is the research. That relates to reporter, but it's the website, looking at the social media, blogs, watching YouTube videos about that environment and that group or from that group. So you can watch an executive on their speech. Looking at news and Google Alerts. So all the research that you would do on your computer. And the third piece I call the reception, and that is going to the event the night before, watching the speech before, receiving audience members, talking to them, so that you get that one-on-one time. And you can pick up a ton of little tidbits, funny little inside jokes about the organization and learn from that. And then you refer to it on the stage. You know, I was talking with Jim last night. Or, you know, Bruce in our audience this morning and I had a wonderful conversation about, and all of a sudden you have this customized, alive, uncanned presentation. People know it's of the moment.
Wow, that's just awesome. Now, Bruce, you get up there, you get paid big bucks to make these speeches to these big companies, and I know you can't give them the same speech every time. So how do you switch things around?
First of all, here's something I learned. I used to think you couldn't give them the same speech every time. You get invited back or you go to a division and you think, okay, I got to do everything new, which, of course, is very, very difficult. But here's what I learned. I did that once, and then afterwards people came up to me and they said, oh, man, you didn't tell the story about the dog, whatever that story was. I love that story. In fact, I told my buddy Jim and my friend Victoria, you got to come hear this guy. He's got the greatest story about the dog. So the truth is, a lot of the big hits, they want again. If you're doing your job, though, you're also trying to be relevant. And you're not just relevant to their business. You're relevant to their life, which means you're including things that are going on in the world. You're using relevant examples. You're talking about things you just saw. You're talking about things you know. So your talk is changing. If you're trying to create a talk, I recommend you write it in modules. So you have the module about the subject, the module with the stories, and then you can move them around as the event hits you. And as Victoria said, if you did those 3 points of research, and I really, really pay a lot of attention to the third one, managed by walking around, and you go to the dinner and you walk the trade show, you're going to have stuff to talk about that's totally relevant based on what you would have said anyways, except now it's all about them.
Oh, that's awesome. And I know you have a great trade show floor story. We're going to get to that hopefully down the road. See that? I'm already teasing one of the things you already said in the past. How about that? How about that? And so back to we're playing ping pong here. Victoria, now you have this great background in the theater. And a lot of people are just regular business people that do these things. A group calls them up. Hey, will you speak on blah, blah, blah? Oh, yeah, I'll be a speaker for that. Can you be there? Blah, blah. So they do all that. And then somebody gets up there and they give you all the, you know, they get their department to give them all the statistics. And I fall asleep in the back or go network outside in the hallway. How can somebody avoid that if they're not a professional speaker?
Well, I think you've got to be true to your style. And some people are funnier than others. Some people are more animated than others. But I would encourage you, if you're not a professional performer, presenter, to be honest and say, when is it that people come alive that I'm talking? They love it when I show these slides. They love it when I tell this story, what Bruce just referred to. They love it when I do this funny physical thing, or I make jokes, or I include this interactive bit. So you want to be clear about what has worked for you in the past, especially if you don't have an opportunity to hone your material. So you want to do tried and true. And I always say to people who think, well, I'm not really a performer, I say, oh, yes, you are. You think about the story you tell that always gets people to laugh, the one that your spouse or friends say, tell them the story about. You know you've got that puppy down. So you want to use pre-planned, pre-tried material and insert it so you're slam dunk.
Now, Victoria, we're getting towards the end of our show today. If people want to get more information on you and you give out some free tips and stuff like that about making a memorable performance, other than replaying right. our show, how do they find you?
The easiest way is to go to www.rocktheroom.com, and that will bounce you right to my website. We've got downloads, free videos. We have a wonderful article called 20 Tips, like you mentioned, to transform a boring presentation into a memorable slam dunk performance. And you get that free. Go to rocktheroom.com.
And Bruce, your website, because we're running out of time, I'm going to go through the wrap-up right after you're done, bud.
Couldn't be easier to find. It's my name, Bruce Turkel, B-R-U-C-E. T-U-R-K-E-L.com, BruceTurkel.com.